So, you may recall, I'm sure you do, all of the conversations when NASA's space shuttle program ended. Conversations about where does NASA go from here? Is this the end of NASA to all intents and purposes? The space program obviously at a very difficult crossroads as the manned shuttle program came to an end. All that seems to have changed. NASA has now announced a new rocket design that it says will be the centerpiece of a deep space exploration program for decades to come. The new rockets could lift astronauts farther than anyone has ever traveled, including an asteroid, and in less than 15 years, eventually going to Mars, I guess. Joining us now, Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History, host of Star Talk Radio, and author of Space Chronicles, which is coming out in February. Neil, you don't have enough parts to your title there. You need to add some more.
Yeah, that'd be the whole interview.
You're just clearly an underachiever.
Well, great to be with you this morning. Plus, I'm delighted that, of course, your name is Celeste, which is, of course, very cosmic.
Celestial, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Means, yeah, absolutely. Heavenly or heaven-like, which makes one wonder why my mother chose that for me. But let's talk about rockets, because this is pretty exciting. I mean, one of the last times we talked to you, if I recall, we were talking about the possible death of NASA.
Well, no. So, what's the phrase? The reports of the demise were premature.
Yeah.
Whoever the famous
greatly
author.
Exaggerated.
Greatly exaggerated. The what's going on now is exactly what Obama had laid out in his space agenda. The agenda was to retire the shuttle and do some research into a new launch vehicle that would be ready in maybe 10 years, and that launch vehicle would skip the moon and go on to other destinations. The problem was, and what everyone was reacting to, which became this sort of cultural reaction rather than an informed reaction, was that NASA is going out of the space business because of the gap between the end of the shuttle and the beginning of this next launch vehicle, which was planned this whole time. So when you have a gap, it means people get laid off because there's no the workers who are on the shuttle were not the same ones you'd get for the next vehicle. And so a lot of the issue was what about the continuity of our presence of launch vehicles in space?
Right.
So that was the issue. And I take issue with that because, you know, well, yeah, I can take the high road and say, yeah, the plan is still there, chill out. But the lower road tells you, well, wait a minute. This vehicle is going to have test runs in 10 years or so and maybe have astronauts in 20. This is under the watch of a president to be named later, right? And it, in a different, whatever economic climate, cultural climate, when Kennedy said we're going to put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth before the decade is out, had he lived and served a second term, that would have easily happened under his watch. There was a delay from the Apollo 1 fire. If that didn't happen, this we would have been on the moon in 1968 under his watch. And so we went from a time of presidents committing a mission statement that they could then shepherd to a time when a president makes a promise that they don't even have to follow through on. So my worry is that this time delay is just susceptible to any fluctuations in the winds where people say, oh, we need this money delayed another 10 years, and it becomes a stalled enterprise rather than an exploration.
Interesting. We're speaking with Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of other things that you've done that are amazing or incredible. But let me ask you, Neil, I mean, maybe the time delay is because we can't afford it right now. I mean, how difficult is this endeavor that we're talking about? It seems incredible to me. It must be something that's going to cost in the millions, if not billions. Maybe we don't have the money.
Certainly billions. Not millions, billions. Just a quick other point. When people were shedding a tear at the end of the shuttle program, had this next launch vehicle been on the next pad ready to go, no one would have shed a tear at the shuttle. They would have said, here's the next vehicle. Did anyone shed a tear when Gemini was retired? No, because the mighty Apollo rocket was sitting right next door, ready to go.
That's a great point.
So the tear shedding was really not the loss of the shuttle. It was the fact that nothing else was in its place. And so you talk about the cost of this. It's announced to be about $3 billion a year. Well, that was about the cost of the shuttle. So it's not an unrealistic sort of cost plan.
Except that the reason that one of the reasons the shuttle program ended, one of them, was the cost.
Well, the cost and safety.
Yeah.
There was a a concern that the shuttle fleet was getting old. It was we built the space station with it, and it's time to go someplace else. We were with the shuttle. We were boldly going where hundreds had gone before. And what should NASA be about? NASA should be about extending a frontier in space. And low Earth orbit, where the shuttle and the space station are launched, is not a space frontier. And so you have to choose, what kind of space program do you want? This whole bit about privatizing space, people were worried that the private enterprise would take all the glory of making discoveries. No, there is no capital market for the first vehicle to get to Mars. No,
yeah.
That would drive everyone bankrupt, any business person bankrupt. That's a government activity, which when you do it, and you do it frequently and often, then you cede it to private enterprise that could then do it efficiently and exploit the patents that enabled it in the first place. That's how we're now viewing low Earth orbit, and that was in NASA's mission from the beginning of Obama's plan. We've been to low Earth orbit. Private enterprise, you take it. We're going to keep NASA on the frontier, asteroids, Mars, and beyond.
And I'm told, it says here in the New York Times, the first unmanned test flight of the first iteration of this rocket, able to lift 70 metric tons to low Earth orbit, could fly as early as 2017.
So that's 6 years from now, as early as that. But, again, that's under the watch of a different president and a different Congress. And that's kind of my worry. I worry about the lost momentum of this, what this gap represents.
But it's still exciting, don't you think?
It is. It's very exciting. And there are criticisms about what kind of architecture or hardware gets used. I don't have those criticisms. I just get us off of Earth. That's what I'm looking for.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, always trying to get out of low Earth orbit, astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History, host of Star Talk Radio, author of Space Chronicles, which comes out in February. Always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly, if you have comments on the future of the space program, it's a favorite topic of ours at The Takeaway. You can listen back to past segments about the last space shuttle launch. That includes a video with my reflections on the end of the shuttle program. Head over to thetakeaway.org. Just search for the word NASA. And as always, you can share your views on any story that you hear on The Takeaway. We have a number of conversations going now that we'd love to get your contribution on. Anything that you hear on the news, also at thetakeaway.org, or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And help us curate. We're thinking that we may start our own new Great Depression project. It should be the Great Recession Project. Send us your photographs of the effects of the recession on yourself, your family, your neighborhood. Send them to thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee. Don Hockenberry returns tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.